Sellers and Makers podcast brings the community to you. We talk to small business owners about work, life, and everything in between. Subscribe to Sellers and Makers podcast so you never miss an episode. Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers podcast, a place artisans can come together in community. Brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and
I'm Christina, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Miss Alexis with So Sweet Academy, and we're so excited you're here.
happy to be here.
Yes, we actually just saw you in Myrtle Beach, so that was really fun. Alexis, tell us who you are and what is So Sweet Academy. Let's start there.
So, as you already mentioned, I'm Alexis. From Augusta, Georgia. You know, I just love crafting. I'm a mother of a soon to be 15-year-old. So Sweet Academy is, the best way I like to describe it is a safe learning environment for anybody looking to learn machine embroidery, wanting to transition from crafting to machine embroidery, or from hobbyist to profitable business owners. So my tagline for that is, it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be pretty. And I live by that in every aspect of my life.
I love it. How did the idea of So Sweet Academy come about? How did that start?
So it started off as So Sweet Monogramming, which was my embroidery business that I started probably in 2016, where that's when I actually got my business license. But I started embroidering probably in 2009 or so, somewhere around the time when my daughter was really young. One of my coworkers came in and she showed us the machine that she had, and I was like, oh, I bet I can do that. And went home, told my mom about it. She bought a machine that all three of us were supposed to use, myself, my sister, and her. We were all supposed to use it, but I caught on really fast, started selling things to my coworkers, and I didn't have a name at the time. And I was just in my kitchen and I was like, God, you know, I try to pray about a lot of things, that a lot of moves I'm supposed to make and directions I'm supposed to go. And I was like, well, God, what is it going to be? And at the time I was making onesies and rolling it up into cupcakes and little candy, little pieces. I have it somewhere. Mm-hmm. I always forget to bring it before I start off. But, and I wanted it to be something with sweets, and I wanted to specialize in baby items. So I was like, oh, so sweet. And I was like, so, I was just walking in the kitchen, so sweet. I was like, oh, so sweet, that's it, so sweet. So that's how that name came about. And then once I started transitioning into the teaching world, I just dropped the monogramming part and added the academy to show that it is a learning space.
Awesome. Do you still do any of the end product stuff now, or is it just the teaching?
So I kind of still do both. I dabble. I like to keep my skills sharp. So I have an Etsy shop that is just on autopilot. Pretty much anytime anyone orders something, it's something that I can create just like that, stitch it and send it. And I still have a way for people that have placed orders with me in the past, or a couple of celebrity clients that I'll do logos and things for. But other than that, it's really just keeping my skills sharp as far as the embroidery portion. My passion is the teaching and connecting with other embroiderers.
Okay. So, side note, I love that you made it so sweet. My first business mm-hmm. that brought me into the world was So Pretty and Personal. Oh. So it like has to go with your tagline, make it pretty. I love it.
That's cute.
So now you're teaching. So you transitioned to the teaching world. What did that look like? Did you just start teaching a friend and then that started videos, or what, how did that happen?
So it was an awesome transition. It was something that I definitely knew I wanted to do, but I didn't know how I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. My previous career, I was a physical therapist assistant. So I totally opposite end of the spectrum from business and well, not really teaching, but it wasn't necessarily a strictly teaching position. I worked long-term care, nursing home, home health, all that fun stuff. And I knew for sure that I wanted to do more of my creative things. Yeah. And right before COVID, it was 2019, a lot of things happened with Medicare and reimbursement and all the other fun stuff. And I wound up getting laid off in November, probably a week before my birthday. And I decided, I said, well, you know, I've been wanting to do my own thing, whether it be with embroidery or with the teaching portion, because I had been going live every Sunday. To this day, I still do go live every Sunday at 5 o'clock for a segment called So Sweet Sunday. And once I got laid off, I just bet on myself. I had already started the academy on a smaller scale, had a couple of members, and I just, it took off from there. I started doing modules and starting a community, and then it just kept going.
And the rest is history.
No. The rest is, I felt myself getting ready to ramble there. So I had to stop with the rest is history.
So I love that though. I think that's kind of the natural progression that I've seen from a lot of people. They're like, you know, I saw something, I liked it, I thought I could do it, I started doing it, and then it turned into a business because I loved some certain aspect of the industry. Whether it's seeing someone's face when they get that personalized item, or I just like making stuff for baby stuff for babies, or I love the interaction with customers, or I love the action of sewing, whatever it is, that's kind of, it's interesting and fun for me to see how the progression takes place. Mm-hmm. And you said you like the continued education, you know, you're always trying to sharpen your skills. That's awesome. I think as the world and the industry changes, the machines change. There's always something new. There's always something different. People, everyone in this industry, this space is creative. So even with something that's old, I guess, they're coming up with new ways to use it and creating new products. And that's fun. You know, they get that's
super fun. And new ways to do things that maybe you hadn't thought of, but then you're talking to a peer and you're like, oh wait, that's cool. And then you know, everything's always evolving.
Right.
Yeah. I really like to just tell everyone there's more than, like you all said, there's more than one way to do things. I personally, all my life, I like to find the easiest way to do things. So and I laugh and say that's why I'm not good at freestanding lace, because you can't really skip steps with freestanding lace. But with everything else, I've found a ton of ways to skip steps, streamline, make it faster, make it easier. And that is from what I'm hearing all of my students, my followers, just anybody, my mentor students. They are all saying the same thing, is you just make it seem so easy. So after I heard that so many times, I was like, well, you know what? I might be onto something, because it does come super easy to me. Even with right now, I just got the Luminaire XP3. And that is a new journey for me to learn, because I was all about multi-needles and just logos and everything. So now finding out so many things that I can do with quilting and last week I did couching on my
sweatshirt. Can you tell people what that machine is? So if anyone that's listening that doesn't know what the Luminaire is.
It's the bomb. So, well, I don't have my paper in front of me to tell you all of the cool functions, but I can tell you most of the ones that that I've been using mostly. So I'm an educator for Brother. Actually, I'm the newest educator for Brother. And we really like that machine. Okay. So I like to do the couching. That's where you stitch and it uses yarn and it catches at the same time. I just did a shirt that said love. There's the quilting components that allows you to do the end-to-end quilting, the echoing, the stippling. It's everything. The camera is, it's almost impossible now to crook it and to stitch crooked. Like if you stitch something crooked, you did it on purpose. And then there's a ton of wireless features that goes with it, with transferring things from your scan and cut to your machine, doing applique. So
yeah, and the scan and cut is another Brother machine.
Yes, that is a cutting machine,
right? And you know, I don't have one personally, but I'd love to have one. I do have a 10 needle, and I love that you can cut the applique pieces. And use that. And so there's not a whole bunch of wasted fabric and whatnot. But my Brother just has a whole bunch of just fun gadgets. They've thought of everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's like it exploded over the last couple of years, just from the time that I got in with my first machine. Mm-hmm. And then now to see how how far we've gone with the technology piece and like wireless transfer and new apps. We have the new Artspira app that is a completely free app that allows you to design on your phone and then transfer it to any machine that has the wireless capability.
Yeah.
That's so cool. It's making it so easy to integrate everything.
Yes. Technology. I mean, we're here. Yeah. We're right smack dab in the middle of what the Jetsons told us we were going to be doing this
time. So we don't have the flying cars.
Not yet. Well, not yet.
We have airplanes. Honestly, I've seen the way some of these people drive, and I don't think
exactly. We need the flying cars. Until we can learn how to use blinkers appropriately, I don't think we're ready for flying cars.
I'm with you. 100%.
Yes. No, I love that. Okay, so you educate for Brother, and you educate for So Sweet Academy.
So Sweet Academy.
How does that work? So I'm new to the industry, or I've been in the industry for 20 years, and you're like, you know what? I want to hone in on this certain skill set. How does that? Do I join your Facebook group? Go to your website? What kind of?
So what I typically, there's so many different point of contact. So the funny part is I got into this not being tech savvy at all. So if you've watched my growth of how to find me, it's like, go to this website, then click here, then go to this, then DM me here. So that's been fun learning in itself. But the easiest way to find me and the Academy is to start with sosweetacademy.com. And if you want to go straight to it, just go to /Academy. Mm-hmm. But then other than that, I'm on all other social media platforms as So Sweet Academy. And I teach that to my followers all the time. Make it easy for people to find you. Mm-hmm. Try to be universal across the board. Set up your business page on everything. That way, when you're ready to run ads or just do the reels that everyone is loving right now, you can do it. And it's just easy. Yeah. It's an easy way to find you. Just put it on social media. Just put it on there. Show everybody what you do. And boom, you have customers.
And again, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Exactly.
We're struggling with the real situation right now.
Really?
All hope's face. We're like, I love watching them. It's just sometimes we struggle with what do we want to put out there. You know, and when we sit down and think of it, there's really, the possibilities are endless. You can do a video or a reel or a post or whatever about just about any part of your business. Mm-hmm. You just got to do it. And
that's what makes it harder, because you can do it with about so much stuff. I just have to document the journey.
I have a problem, or let's say with like EEM reels, like, how much planning do y'all want to see? Like, there's only much when we're there that, you know, and maybe when they're there, we do take videos, but how much of that do you want to see? Like,
you can stretch that out forever.
It is a struggle for me. I'm like, I mean, if it was just like, oh, let's see your everyday life. Like, okay, you know, let's see some laundry or okay. I got laundry. I can do that.
See, maybe we need to do a reel with the multitasking of laundry and planning at the same
while
time.
While on the phone, you know.
Listen, that'll get you some views and some hearts. Can I just tell you all I may be getting ahead of myself because this may be one of the questions you're asking, but the excitement for me behind EEM and why I love you all so much.
Tell me. Yes.
So when I first stepped out of my own shell and started finding other embroiderers, other crafters, other everything that was doing the same thing that I did, it was through EEM. It was my very first ever show that I went to. If you look back at some of my stuff from years ago, I'm telling everyone, hey, come to Embroidery Market, come follow me, come find me, come, let's just and hang out and walk around the shop and learn. And before COVID, I want to say I went to all of the shows along the Southeast. I didn't make it to any of the ones up north, but even to the retreat that was had in Callaway Gardens. Yeah. I just love it. So that was kind of how I got my feet wet with going to different trade shows and learning about a lot of different vendors and digitizers that I buy my supplies, blanks, or files from.
Yeah. So I absolutely love to hear that, because that's what I feel like the market is and should be all about, bringing people together, letting you meet people that are like-minded, because it's, let's face it, it's hard sometimes. Like if you're in your everyday life, not everyone has an embroidery machine or a vinyl cutter or whatever it is that your craft is. But at Everything Embroidery Market, that's not the case. Everyone there is there to learn. They're there to shop. They're there to meet people, be yes. excited. And like you said, or we said, I don't know who said it, but everything's changing. It's yeah. changed a ton. And without these trade shows, you may not even know that you're doing something one way and there's an easier way or an easier mm-hmm. product or an easier whatever it is. And that's why we do it.
I love it.
We love having you. And you were in Myrtle Beach as an educator.
Yes.
This last time. How was that? That was a little different for you, huh?
Yeah. So that was so much fun. So rather than being in a classroom setting, I was able to be in the booth, talking to customers as they're coming up, doing my favorite thing, which is demos. You know, I would just catch everybody walking by and, hey, let me show you this new feature, because I'm excited about it. So I want to show everyone else what I'm excited, what features I'm excited for, find out what machines they have. I warn everybody that I will make you want a new machine. That's just how it goes. I am not in this business to tell you to stay with the same machine you have. I just want you to have the best of the best, because I want to have the most technology. So that's always my disclaimer.
You know what? Sometimes we just need that little like push.
I'm that shopping friend that's going to be like, oh girl, buy that. Listen, we will eat sandwiches for the next week, but by that.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a big difference. I started out with like the Brother 1250D, I think, like the, you know, the small single needle. A lot of people start out with the 770.
That's what I started with.
Yeah. The one I have is basically the same. It just had a couple more bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up with the Brother 10, the PR1000E, whatever. Mm-hmm. They've got newer versions of that and they are nicer. You know, I mean,
yes, 55 is,
yes. And it's, I still love Big Bertha. Don't get me wrong. But every time I walk by the new ones, I'm like, oh, mine doesn't do that. How much time could I save if mine did that?
I'm telling you, by the time we leave today, you're going to be hitting up your local dealer like, I need that new machine.
Time is money.
Time is yes, money. For yes. sure.
Yes.
For sure.
And we don't like to leave new fun crafts off the table either. So there's that. Okay. So let's switch gears just a little bit. So our theme for this season is going to be a little bit about, I don't want to get like too crazy into politics or anything like that, so we'll stay clear of that kind of thing. But there's definitely been a shift in the economy. Mm-hmm. How have you seen that in your business? Good or bad?
So I would probably say good, because everything shifted virtually. With now the whole world pretty much knows how to use Zoom or some type of streaming platform. And being that I'm a virtual embroidery coach, I mean, I do in-person things also, but it's just so much easier to stream and to grow when you're doing everything virtually. So it has helped me to reach more people. I know for sure I have a couple of followers that are in Australia. I have some Academy members that are in London. So I never would have been able to reach them had we not had this, you know, recent crisis and everything going on, where we had to switch to everything online. And then it gave people more, especially with making the mask, a lot of people got into the creative space from making masks. So that way that gave them kind of like the bug to get them started. And then they started finding out about more things and meeting other people such as myself and a lot of other embroiderers or crafters out there that could lead them towards a real business in it.
Yeah, I love that you say bug because that's what it is. And then it just kind of grows. You know, people, they want to do something. They may not know what it is, but once you do it and you realize, wait, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can. If I can do this, what else can I do? Yeah. And then I like to see that evolve. Now, another thing, so you're virtual. There were so many people that went home, you know, stayed home, and they mm-hmm. decided, I now am at home. I've wanted to do a business, but I wasn't at home to do it. And that's the cool thing about our industry too. There are so many like really successful embroiderers and sublimation and vinyl cutter, so many people in the garment decorating industry that do it out of their house.
Yes.
And that's like amazing. With overhead, you don't have to rent a shop. Some people do, a lot of people do, but I would even venture to guess that there's more that are doing it out of their home or at least started out of their home.
Oh, yeah. The home-based businesses are the bomb because like you said, there's very little startup. Me personally, I even if I wanted to, I can't have another child because I have nowhere else to put because this is my spare bedroom. I just recently got a she shed that I am working on getting electrical and all that fun stuff run to. So I personally have no interest in getting a space right now. I mean, I don't know what the future is going to look like, but right now I can do everything I want from here. You know, clean up a little bit. My background is a little messy right now, but you know, clean up a little corner and I have my recording studio. I tell this story so many times. I sold all of my living room furniture during COVID so that I could have more space for more machines. And I still do not have a sofa to this day, but I have a beautiful corner that houses most of my machines for up front. And then back here is my I guess it could be called my PR room because it holds my PR machines.
Well, there you go. I see two back there. What else? What you got?
So in here, that's all I have. I just have my 655. So that was my first multi-needle that I got. And then this one is my PR680W. So that's the newest one right now as far as the six needles with Brother. And then up front is where I have my Luminaire and my Scan and Cut and my PE800.
Awesome.
And I have a heat press that I really
need. I was going to say, do you press anything?
I don't. So I sometimes I think I want to get into that, but then I'm like, if I get into that, I know how I am with crafting. I will try to learn everything about it. And I want to kind of stay in my lane, but I also want to get into laser cutting. So it's really one of those things you cannot do one part of crafting or embroidery or anything rhinestones and not do anything else.
Have to have blinders on because it's like, oh, something shiny over there.
Yes. Girl, it's like, it's so easy. Why can't I just learn this really quick and throw this in my Etsy shop or a website?
Then when you go to the shows, then you're like, oh, I need that and I need this and I want that. Yes. And look at how cool this is. Like it's a problem.
It's not a problem. Really. It's a good problem.
It's a good problem. It's a good problem. But nonetheless, if you don't budget right, it can be a little problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. So set a budget. Good tip. Number one, set a budget.
Always set a budget.
And stick to it.
Some wiggle room.
Set a budget and check out everyone before you come so you can make a plan when it comes to classes. Make sure if you're there for embroidery, your budget's for embroidery, you're taking the embroidery classes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you said that the shift in the economy has been good for you because you're virtual. What would you say is the number one thing that has helped you be a virtual coach, whether it's a piece of equipment or anything?
So this may be the unpopular answer, but consistency, okay. To be honest, showing up every week for, we just celebrated our 3-year anniversary or birthday, or we're 3 years in the academy. But before that, it was just, like I said, me going live every Sunday at 5. Those first 2 years during COVID, when, you know, you couldn't really go anywhere anyway, I was there every Sunday at 5:05 at the latest. But I was there and I showed up, and then that made all of my followers and all of my viewers show up for me also. So it's kind of like we felt obligated to each other. I've gotten so many stories about how just our time together has helped them through something. A lot of people may not know it, but some days I can look back and see exactly what live it was, where right before I went live, I was going through something, probably in tears for something. And people even were like, well, maybe you shouldn't do it today. I'm like, no, you don't understand. This energizes me. This is my medicine. Yeah. I just love it so much. I love talking, if you haven't noticed.
Well, and you created a community. Mm-hmm. And so that speaks volume. People come to see what you have to say. They mm-hmm. feed off each other. They learn from you and then also from each other. And right. that's your community. That's yeah. awesome. And if you're listening to this and you haven't joined a community, I very much encourage you to do so, because like we said, a lot of you guys are, you're working out of your home. Yes. You know, and that's a great thing. We just said all the wonderful things about that. And I started out of my home, and I'm in my home right now, you know. But I think sometimes what you feel like you miss is that interaction with other people. And you can get that, whether it's online or at one of the in-person shows or both. Honestly, I think there's a need for both.
Yeah. And the main thing is just, like you said, encouraging each other in there. So not only do you have the community, then there's the group coaching portion of it, of Soul Suite Academy, where I hop on there. Sometimes I do a live stitch out for them to learn more. So recently, since I have a huge library of things, yeah. I get on and we just troubleshoot. We ask questions. This past Tuesday, we talked about basically, I've kind of for myself, I guess, coined the phrase of, this is our Crafters Super Bowl go time, you know, fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. You just have holidays back to back. So mm-hmm. we should be really creating. We should be putting our stuff out there, getting ready for Christmas, whatever holidays that you celebrate between now and the end of the year. Like, it's our go time. People buy things right now. So the fact that I call it a safe stitch environment where everybody can just hop in. It's not me anymore. I found that sometimes if I can't answer a question, there's somebody in the community that could answer it better than I would. And I just sit back like, that's good. And then to watch their growth. I have a couple of them in there that was like, I'm not doing social media. I'm not doing an Etsy account. I'm not this. I'm not posting. And then next thing you know, they get on there and share a win. Like, I got sales on my Etsy shop. I posted something on my Instagram page and automatically got 5 orders. Or I'm so busy right now, I don't know what to do. And I celebrate them when they get booked and busy. I tell them, I want all of you all to feel this booked and busy feeling, right, so that you know that you have to figure something out now to organize it so that your life and your business can run parallel and nothing falls off.
Right. That's your community. Those are your people. You get excited when they do well. And I honestly, so we started about the same time. I had my Etsy shop at 2000. I guess I didn't have the Etsy shop quite yet in 2009. I opened it in 2010. And then, so it was an evolving, I guess it's evolved. But through that, you meet people and you see the change. And the change is huge, even month after month after month. And then if you look back and you're like, okay, so let me look at the whole year, you may not notice how much it's changed if you're just looking at it, you know, month by month. But year over year, it's like, whoa, last year you had 100 orders. This year you have 500 orders. And you feel like, you know, sometimes you get in your head and you're like, oh, it's only 500 orders. But whoa, hey girl, like last year you only had 100. Let's celebrate the 500.
You have to celebrate those things.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a building point. A lot of people ask me about Etsy and its fees and all that stuff, and I just tell them, would you have those orders if it weren't for that? Yeah. So I like it for the fact that I am not always the most tech savvy with building e-commerce websites. There's plenty of platforms that you can do it on, but some platforms are just easier to set up on others. And Etsy is a space that is great for creatives.
Right. It brings you the traffic. People are going to mall looking for your product.
Mm-hmm.
They're going there for that. And I agree. I mean, I know that the fees have increased over the years, but mm-hmm. you wouldn't have that sale if it weren't for that. You can create, I also believe you should create a website also so that you mm-hmm. have multiple avenues. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket,
right.
But I know like my Blanks company, my biggest customer was only Etsy for like the longest time. She just recently made a website and now she pushes people from her Etsy page to her website and mm-hmm. she does both, but she tremendously has grown her business and it's been fun to watch. But if you're afraid to do Etsy because you heard someone had whatever experience, you'll never know. You don't know what you don't know. So try it.
Right. Exactly. That's perfect right there. Exactly.
Yes. And then also with the social media thing, I think people they're afraid. Like you said, it doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be pretty, but they're afraid. You're your own biggest critic. So you're mm-hmm. like, oh, well, I see that like one thing that I wish was slightly different. Therefore, I'm afraid to post a picture and put it out there to the world. But everyone else, like no one sees that one little thing that you see. All they see is a beautiful handcrafted item and they want to buy it. And they wouldn't know they wanted to buy it unless they saw that picture that you posted. So get exactly. out of your head and just post it.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like no matter what stage you're at, whether you're posting every day, three times a day on social media, like they suggest, or if you're just posting every so often, like you get in your head sometimes. Mm-hmm. Me personally, for the last month, if you look at my Instagram page, I think I've missed like 3 weeks because I was inside my head. I was like, I don't know what to post. I don't know what to say with it. So when I get to that point and I just don't know what to do, sometimes I'll just post a picture. Like I don't have a comment. I don't have any copy behind it. I don't have anything. I'll just post the picture or a random reel just to get myself back going. And that's what I tell everybody. Just sometimes if you're stuck, just do something. Right. Something is better than nothing. Get out and push the car, you know, right. Start.
Well, even if it's just sharing a video, like it doesn't yes. have to be your own. It could be something you just thought was really funny. Like, mm-hmm. you know what? This made me laugh today. I hope you're laughing too. Like it could just be something as simple as that. Like, don't get so in your head where you're like, I can't. I mean, I do it too. I am one of them. It's fun to do those. I mean, I send funny videos all the time. Like,
oh, me too. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, who did I send that one to?
Oh, no. Wait a second.
So like, I'm like, wait. Did I? Okay, we're good. You still be offended.
No, but I mean, we're human. Everyone's mm-hmm. human. And that means yeah. everyone's got ups and downs, good days and bad days. Sometimes you are in a not so good spot. Like, I don't know, you're sick. You don't feel good. You don't feel like posting.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, also. Now, the second you start to feel better, just don't stop is kind of yeah. how I feel. Don't stop just because you have a bad day or a bad moment. And take a minute. Join that community that you're seeing. Okay, this person is successful. I can be too. And yeah. you said, like you said, consistency is key. I think a lot of people will maybe try like, oh, they're scared to post. They post one time and they're like, oh, it didn't work. Well, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know? You like you said, 2 years you went live every week. And then
terrified. I was terrified some days.
Yes. Every week. That's a huge that's a big commitment, but you showed up and then people showed up. And then I've seen your platforms grow you know, I've seen you on TikTok, you know, and people want to be there for that. If think about yourself, if you were to go to Facebook or I don't know, any social media, and you go to a business and you only see one picture, you know, are you going to trust them as much as someone that you're seeing that's constantly posting, constantly excited about their work, right. even if it's not perfect work? Heck, might be showing you a picture of my kid that broke his arm. Like, today's a bad day. I'm not posting anything else, but this is what's going on, you know?
Or food. I post food all the time because I love food.
Yes, recipes, anything. And don't be afraid to show your personality too. Mm-hmm. I think
absolutely. That's important, because then that's my thing when it comes to living my life. I have a life, you know, I am a mom. I think I'm still young, even though my daughter some days makes me feel bad about my age. But, you know, I do like to go out with friends, have a drink, have fun, do whatever. So I incorporate that into my social media. So if in the event someone ever sees me sitting down, having fun, having a drink, dancing horribly, it's not like, oh my gosh, I thought she was perfect, but she apparently over here having fun, living life. So I tell people all the time, just be you and you'll attract other people that want, that are the same type of you that, you know, that you are. And that way you repel what you don't want, you attract what you are. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a question. I don't know that we told you this beforehand, but hey, surprise! No, okay, so what is your viewpoint on the industry as far as, like, I sell shirts and you sell shirts? We're selling very similar, maybe even almost the exact same product. What do you think about that?
That is so easy. My viewpoint is, I used to always tell this to people, there is enough out here for all of us to eat. Meaning, it doesn't matter. You know, you may reach a different demographic than I do. Your shirts may appeal to different people than mine. I may have a different flair on my shirts. Mm-hmm. So what if I can't sell enough shirts to reach the masses and, you know, yours allows other people to get access to it. So it's not a matter of we can't do the same thing. If that's, you know, everybody knows the saying about the bread aisle, walk down the bread aisle and there's so many different types of breads. But you can look at that with anything in life. Any aisle you walk down, there's not just one brand of something. Yeah. And people may like one brand better than the other, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's okay. And I also like to collaborate with people to show that not only are we doing the same thing, we can do the same thing at a high level.
And together.
Together. Yes. Without drama, without anything going wrong. I mean, what's the harm in that? If everybody has the same end goal in mind of creating, selling, making yourself better, embellishing, making the items better. I mean, yeah.
Well, so I asked the question, not to be a trick question, but we were just talking about pain points, you know, where people are afraid to do something for whatever reason. And one of the ones I hear frequently is, you know, someone already sells that shirt in my area. So I'm not even going to try to start because they're selling it. But I have a very similar viewpoint to you. I feel like, you know, there's Walmart, there's Target. They both have a bunch of awesome stuff. I might shop at Target for this. I might shop at Walmart for this, but I shop at both stores. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's about convenience. Sometimes it's about price. Sometimes it's about quality. Sometimes, you know, they may shop with you just because you went live and did something funny.
Yeah.
And that now they're... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what if the person saying somebody's already doing that in my area? Well, that's the beauty of online and social media. You put yours online and you sell it everywhere. Sell it, you know, sell it to another area. Mm-hmm. So I tell that, I preach that, I say it all the time. If you can't sell, if your customers are not in your local area, go outside of your local area.
Yes. I have a customer who, she said, I know they have it on Etsy, or at least they used to, where you can see each state that you've sold something in, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we've sold one of your products in each one of these states. And like, she sent me an email and she was like, look how exciting that is. Like, I'm like, yay, you know, it's exciting. And you get to watch that growth. And you, like you said, it doesn't have to be right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, that's all they do. They have a brick and mortar. I still think it's a good idea to have a social media presence if you have a brick and mortar. But if you just have a brick and mortar, you're selling just in one spot. And then the person right next door to you may do online only or both or whatever. You can do the same thing. You can sell, honestly, you can, people buy a white t-shirt from lots of different places.
That's very true. And then, you know, you can do whatever you want with it. You know, it, you can buy, you can wear it as a plain white t-shirt. You can embellish it. You can cut it up. You can do it. I mean, so it's, things are needed for different reasons. And if one person were the only one cornering that market, for one, it wouldn't be fair. And for number two, you just, it would not be fun anymore. You would be overwhelmed if you had to produce for the masses.
And then you talk, let's talk about pricing so a little bit. So sometimes people, that's another pain point. I have overhead, so I have to charge X amount for that white t-shirt. Mm-hmm. But my friend over here can sell it for a little bit less. That's not fair. And people get upset. And again, I believe people will shop with you at the higher price point for a certain reason, because they like you more, because you gave them a personal experience that made them feel special. They walked into your store, or they called you or messaged you or emailed you, and you spent the time to make them feel like they were important.
Yeah, or consistent.
Yes.
It's about how you feel, how someone makes you feel that makes you want to return back to that feeling.
Yes. And you can separate yourself however you want. That I feel like the possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
So,
With pricing, I tell people, if you can establish yourself as like a premium brand or a quality, you know, think about some of the designer bags. They're the same bag without that label on it. They just slapped the label on it and called it designer and gave it a higher price. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be designer, slap a label on it and call yourself designer and find people that want that type of luxury or designer item that you make.
Create a brand. And again, consistency within a brand is key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Because I mean, you can do whatever you want in this space, to be honest. I think that's what we forget. Like, that's the beauty of the time that we're living in now and being able to create our own brands, our own stores. We literally can open a Facebook account, business page, and boom, you're a business. Well, you might need a business license and all that technical stuff. Yeah. But it's gone are the days that you had to go through your local SBA or something and get a loan, open a brick and mortar, send out newspaper advertising. Mm-hmm. Now just click, hello, guess what? I'm selling this.
Yes. And then when you're consistent, you've already created a customer, like, what's the word? Trust. They trust you because they see
brand
you.
Loyalty.
There you go. That's the one.
And the more you stay consistent with all of it, the more they come back. But even even in your local area, I mean, there's so many different places where you're not stealing or taking from someone else's business, which if you are, then maybe the other person wasn't as consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their prices were different, but you never know. I mean, that's just business, but like there's so many opportunities in your everyday life to reach other people. And it's social media and it's, you know, maybe even in person.
Yep. So I wonder, so you talked about how you pivoted from your Etsy shop. So now you're teaching, that's primarily what you do, whether it's through your website or with Brother or whatever. So you made a pivot in your community, in the So Sweet Academy community. Do you see people pivot a lot?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So that's like with the growth component, I've seen them pivot from, making items and selling it for like $5 to now they're on there, oh, I sold this for $10, but then someone walked up to me and said, oh, you're not charging enough. So by the time she got done with her show, I think she was selling her masks and I think probably like towels or something for $20. Mm-hmm. So that right there would be the biggest glow up. Just to understand your value and get more comfortable in either stitching on someone's blanks that they bring to you or providing the blanks. That's always been a big gray area in the community of should you stitch on things that people bring you or should you only provide it? And then how should you price? Like pricing is subjective. I tell people all the time. Mm-hmm. Pricing is subjective. You price what you want, to be honest, but you definitely want to price to make a profit so that you're not getting burnt out.
Yeah. But and you need to know your numbers in order to do that. And we're all creative. We like to make the pretty things. We forget that if we're doing this as a business, we got to think of it as a business.
Mm-hmm. Cause we have to be able to afford all the new fun toys. No other reason, you just have to make enough money to buy the next latest and greatest toy that you're going to fall in love with. Mm-hmm. Or blanks.
Or thread or whatever. But yes, all the awesome, awesome things. And, you know, to be honest, I have seen some people that start something and it doesn't last long because they were afraid to charge what it was worth. And they'll even say, like, I know it's worth $25, but I'm only going to charge $15 because, you know, I'm afraid that I won't get sales at 25, even though I would buy it for 25. Mm-hmm. And so then they're spinning their wheels. They're busy, 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 busy because everyone's like, oh, $15. Like, I'm going to
get frustrated. Yeah, I'm frustrated because they're tired.
Yes. Yep.
And then you're not even making, I mean, at that point, are you even making back what you've put into it?
Not really.
And that's like not only like, you know, the cost of your shirt, the cost of your thread, that type of stuff, but like the cost to keep the lights on, like how much extra electricity are you using? How much, you know, it's those little things or just, you know, I don't know, sleep.
Mm-hmm. A lot of your family, all of that.
A lot of this industry tends to work at night.
Mm-hmm.
So how much sleep did you lose over it? That to me, that's my, like, yeah. I need sleep. Yeah. And we're taken away from that. How much does that cost?
But if nothing else, charge for your sleep.
Exactly. There you go.
Charge for your sleep. I'm on to something here.
Let's make that into a reel. How can we charge for our sleep?
How much is your sleep worth to you?
Yeah, a lot, because I am not a functional person without it.
Oh, me either. And it's funny that you said a lot of us work at night. Once I don't know when the transition came, probably when I went full time from being laid off, I stopped working at night in my sewing room as much because I found that I made a lot of mistakes. And I just was tired. So I got to the point, if I start to feel tired, I start to make a mistake, I just stop. But the only way I can really have the leeway to do that is to plan out my orders or plan out what I have to do to give me enough time that I'm not rushing. Right. The worst thing you want to do is mess up an order and then, or mess up anything you're stitching out and then have to take it loose and then start over again. Then you mess it up again. Cause I've done that.
Nope. Me too.
During the holiday season, like this is the time when you just have to plan out everything, like everything, or like even your social media, you can schedule a bunch of that too. Like just for those that are listening that haven't done that before, scheduling it out is really nice. Yeah. Cause then it just goes when you schedule it. So you don't have to think about it every day.
Yes. Here's one thing that I definitely did not used to do in the beginning, but now we got 5 kids, right? Like we're busy. So, and I don't want my kids to feel like I'm not there for them. So there are certain days or certain like weekends, it's primarily weekends during the week, but weekends, I want that to be family time. And so I try not to answer emails. I try not to answer the Facebook messages, just the noise that happens so that on Monday, I feel a little bit, I mean, Mondays are always tough, but I'm not so tired from trying to work everything on the weekend. I got to be with my kiddos, and now it's time to work. Now I can, you know, grind.
Yeah. Right. I could not imagine. I don't know. I hate saying this when I'm talking to people that have multiple kids, but I'm like, I just have one and I'm tired. And she's now self-sufficient, 14 going on 15. And still some days she's talking to me and I'm like, Kira, I just need a moment to think this through. And it's, mommy, don't you think? Mommy, right? Right, mommy? Hi, mommy? Mommy. I'm like, who is this mommy you speak of? Because she is tired.
Yes. But you know what? One thing that my husband's always said, and I like it, is everyone's day is different. Everyone's busy is different. Mm-hmm. But we all go through the day and we're all busy with different things. Mm-hmm. So I don't think one's worse or harder. There are harder days. But that in general, just because I'm busy doesn't mean you're not. You know what right. I mean? It's just different.
Right. And respecting each other's busy is what's important. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. not looking at the person with one child, like, oh, it would be so much easier. And then me looking at, you know, someone that does have more kids and saying, you know, where's your schedule or where, you know, how did you get here? So it's definitely big on just respecting each other's busy.
Yeah. And business, all of that. When I had one child, I was busy. When I had two, I was busy. When three, you know,
like a new kind of busy, a new normal.
Adjustment period every time, the couple months right after the baby. I'll come back and talk to you after that's passed, after I've gotten some sleep.
Right. How much is your sleep worth?
What I'm talking about. I've been on the fence about a third child for a very long time. And it keeps coming back to the sleep part.
That's okay.
My first two did me in on the sleep and I'm still not recovered from it. They still sleep weird and come get me. I mean, they're still little, but I'm just like, how much is that sleep worth? I mean, babies, they're cute and they're chubby and all that, but man.
Oh, my daughter, she was such a good baby that I'm afraid to mess that up. Like, she was the ideal baby. And even now, she values her sleep so much that this year she's in high school. This is the first year that I don't have to get up and take her to school and pick her up every day. So she sets her own alarm. And one morning, I swear, I woke up and I was like panicking. Like, oh my gosh, she missed the bus. She's not here. She woke up. Her alarm woke her up. She got dressed, went, caught the bus. And I'm like, it's because the 15-year-old me that I was, I would have been like, oh, mom didn't wake me up.
Mom's not awake.
Oh, I sure as I would. Nope.
She's more responsible than I ever was at her age.
I love it. Do you bring her to the shows?
I didn't bring her to this one because now I don't let her miss school as much, but I do typically bring her. I like for her to experience it as much as possible because I am gone a lot. Mm-hmm. So when I can include her and we look back and she can, you know, proudly say, this is what my mom did. And I understand the work that went into it. I like for her to be a part of it. And she even recognizes a lot of the people, a lot of the brands. And she'll say, I haven't gotten her into the embroidery portion of it, which I kind of am sad, but, she does press on nails, but she's able to identify the shows, the vendors, by voice, their YouTube, all that stuff. So she's very into the community.
Well, and she's proud. This is what my mom does, you know. Yeah. That's awesome. That's part of why we bring our kiddos, because like you said, I don't want them to think I'm just mom's gone for a week to a show and them have no idea. If they get to go, one, it's exciting because they get to leave the house. Two, they get to see that hard work can also be fun and rewarding.
Right.
And then, I don't know if I said three just then, but I don't know how to
count. You said two.
Okay, good. You're three. And three, I it's a family business. It's real life, you know? Mm-hmm. Even if they're not working, like, it's, they're my support. I'm their support. So we just support.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the fact that she is, at first it made me nervous because when people would ask her, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? She would say, I want to do nails. So it got to the point where she got old enough. I said, well, Kira, let's turn that into a career. You know, let's answer that as a career. So I want to own my own nail studio. I want to have my own business as doing nails. I want to this, I want to that. So I find that being that I have broken away and gone into the business world, I'm more understanding of her not saying something like, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, or, you know, anything unconventional now is, I'm okay with it. It's fine because she has watched me and also her dad be an entrepreneur. So she gets it. And I just joked with her, I said, so we're of the age now. We have to make this sound like a career because I want to do nails. It's cute, but we have to make it sound like a career. But I still want you to have fun in your career doing it.
Enjoy what you do.
Find your passion.
Yeah. And it doesn't, to me, I'm like, if that's what you truly want to do, I'm going to, just like my mom did for me. My mom bought my first machine. My dad bought my first sewing machine. And to this day, they will buy almost anything that I want. And if my mom has it already at her house, which she has everything you can think of for sewing, I can just go over there and pick it up. But they will still buy everything I need for it. And with my daughter, when she wanted to make lip gloss, as a matter of fact, I'm wearing the lip gloss that she made because it's my favorite. She made it like 2 years ago. I don't know the shelf life, but I still wear it. But I bought her everything for making lip gloss. Then she wanted to do nails. She spent a whole summer watching it on YouTube. I bought her everything there was to make with nails. So I show her that I support her. And that's important because that's what my parents did for me.
Yeah. And when you don't have the support, you feel like, should I? You're more scared to try it. And I think you're doing that for your people in the So Sweet Academy too, your community. Mm-hmm. You are supporting them and that gives them the courage to try something different or continue or pivot if they feel the need. Mm-hmm. Or I'm afraid to charge that, but now I know I can and I should, so I will. So. Yes.
We've all called each other out in there, like, you should charge more. They've called me out sometimes. Like, you should know your value. And I appreciate it because it is always with love. There's been a couple of them that I've said, all right, wait, we're gonna focus on the one thing right now. We've had Zoom meetings where we were supposed to do a lesson and something just led us in a different direction that we just needed to vent and really just get things off of our chest. And it was
totally get it.
The perfect meeting.
Hope and I, we've known each other since like middle school. So some days
are not.
We forget that we're working.
Which is fine. I think some days we obviously need that. Like to just like talk about everything else in our life. It's not about we're talking about work. We're talking about, you know, kids' schedules or husband schedules, whatever. Or, you know, something someone else did, and you know, or the random guy that decided to come spray my lawn this morning that we did not wrong address talk about his own situation. But you know, it's stuff like that.
And then some days we're like, okay. No talking about anything except work. This is what we got to get done. Okay, let's start checking stuff off the list because we don't want to get behind.
Those friends are important. I have so many different friend groups that has evolved into something like that. Like we'll sit here on Zoom or either on, what is it, Facebook Messenger video chat and literally just work until the middle of the night. I have one friend and she doesn't even do embroidery. She's a business coach and she kind of helps like CEO kind of things in your business. And we've just sat up until the wee hours of the morning at this point and worked. And hey, let me read this to you, or hey, let me share my screen. And then the same thing with my embroidery friends. We've sent pictures of things that went well. We've sent pictures of things that customers were complaining about. And we're like, girl, there's nothing wrong with that. Blah, blah, blah. So you really need that circle to vent to.
Yeah. Your sounding board. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think we'll wrap it up, but that's the perfect ending spot, because if you don't have a community or you want to add another one, join So Sweet Academy. Alexis is obviously very passionate about what she does, and you won't be alone, you know?
There's a ton of us there. So the Facebook group, I honestly don't know how to fix this to make it easier to find, but the Facebook group, the free one where I mainly go live, it's called It's So Sweet to Learn. And for some reason you have to put that apostrophe after it's or IT apostrophe S, because it doesn't always come up, but be sure to join that one. That one is the absolutely free Facebook group. And then you can follow on all the other platforms and, you know, just get a feel for me before you hop into the Academy. I want you to be comfortable with me.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. We really enjoyed it. And I know our listeners will too. And it's all about community, hanging out, learning.
Thanks for the invite.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Follow us at Everything Embroidery Market on Facebook and Instagram for all of our latest updates. We will see you next week.